Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
It's 11:22 and I'm really torn as to whether I even preach this morning. I'm going to try to take 8 minutes, and so we finish at 11:30. So no matter where I get, I'm going to finish. My wife will tell me when it's 11:30. I guarantee you that. Has anyone ever heard the saying, like, you put good things into your body, you get good things out of it? Who was kind of, like, conscious and alive and can remember 1985? Come on. No, you weren't born yet. Seriously. Okay, cast your eyes towards the screen and tell me if anyone remembers this ski yogurt ad. See if you remember this one.
Put a good thing into your body.
And you get great things out of it.
Put a good thing into your body.
And you get great things out of it.
Put a good thing into your body. Ski yogurt.
Does anyone remember that ad? No, neither do I. It was way before my time. But that saying, put good things into your body, get good things out of it. And I think there's so many parallels in Scripture around the physical, the natural, that it gives us an understanding into the spiritual. And so I know this makes sense, but we put good things into our spiritual body, we'll start to get good things out of it. So this morning my sermon was going to be about the five senses. So it was like a five-sense sermon. Five cents faith, if you like. So not the 5 cents as in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 cents money. 5 senses. All right. So we're talking about taste. We're talking about smell. We're talking about sight, hearing, touch. Those 5 senses. And how there are parallels in Scripture that we can learn from and get some spiritual truths out of. So the first one that I was going to touch on was just that whole one about taste. And in Psalm 34, verse 8, it says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." And so it's starting to, not just that physical taste, but it's actually implying that you can actually have an experience with God and with others that kind of like creates a taste, has a flavor to it. Have you ever kind of walked away and kind of just went, that whole thing left a bad taste in my mouth and had nothing to do with the food you ate? You know what I mean? So like you have an encounter, and Jesus himself is described in Hebrews 2. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. And we're not talking about tasting the morsels, and we're inundated. Even Mulyardi slipped in kind of the food reference this morning, as he does. But we're inundated with that whole kind of sensory overlay with the importance of taste. What I'm talking about here particularly is the taste of experience that we can have. And Christ tasted, experienced death for us. And we know that he conquered that and went through that. So death is not something we have to fear. It's not a taste. It's not an experience we have to fear. But something through Christ, through Spirit, that we can actually pass through into his presence. So I'm talking about that taste. What taste do we leave in people's mouths after we've had that encounter, that meeting with them? What do I taste like? Good question. I like strawberry. You might be a chocolate fan. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what taste do you leave in people's mouths. And if to take it a step further, what are we tasting on a regular basis? Taste and see that the Lord is good. And often we don't know about how something tastes until we peel back the layers that protect it. And we don't know what's on the inside. So whether it's a banana, it's an apple, it's an orange. Well, apples, you can eat the skin, but, and some people eat the other skins too, I'm sure. But I'm talking about what's on the inside. Whether it's a juice even, we don't know what's on the inside, what that's going to taste like until it's squeezed. And I think spiritually the same is for us, is that once our protective layers and our superficial layers are peeled back and we find out what we really taste like. And pressurized, stressful situations will often bring that out to us. I mean, I don't mind cooking. I wouldn't say I'm a great cook, but I do okay in the kitchen. I'm no Michael Salisbury or Mulyardi Robin, but, you know, I have a go when it comes to cooking. And my experience is the best meals kind of the ones that are made with fresh ingredients that are not kind of over-manufactured and they're not over-processed, but fresh ingredients. Are you with me? And so the same is true spiritually. I mean, when you hang around somebody that's just living off past revelation and past experiences and they're reliving the glory years, praise God for that. Because there was a moment where they got fresh revelation, but God wants us to have fresh revelation daily and wants us to be fresh. So we're actually kind of just a fresh, vibrant taste. And I'm also conscious that things have a use-by date. And so, you know, God's saying, hey, you've used that up. I've got more for you. Got something fresh. And look, I am also conscious that there are other things that take time to mature. Wine. I'm no wine connoisseur, but I know that there's seasons and times that you should wait for wine around, that there's a process of maturing so that it becomes full-bodied and the taste it should be. And I know that, like, my bolognese sauce, which people say is pretty good, it's always better the next day or the day after, like a good curry. Are you with me? I thought I'd get taste out early because I know everyone's going to get hungry if I start talking about this. Wow, I only have about 3 minutes left. The next one, what about smell? Smell. Wow. I was reminded in my research of this that the olfactory sense, the smell, is actually the one that is strongest linked to emotion and memory. And so we're not going to do it now because of time, but we actually had like a little strip of citrus that I was going to hang out. So for the guys that organised that, I'll use it in another message soon, so we will use them. But they say that like when you smell, it goes through the olfactory bulb, which sits at the base of the brain, and it slows closely connected to the amygdala and the hippocampus, which are both parts of the brain that are directly connected to memory and emotion. And so when we smell, it triggers and there's an association, which can be good and bad. For people with post-traumatic stress disorder, some of them, when they smell diesel, it takes them back to the moment, which can be quite traumatic. But it also can be incredibly positive. I know that when I smell like a slight northerly breeze, it takes me back to standing on the cliff top, checking the surf with my mates, and like just about to go for a surf. It just takes me back to that moment when there's something about that smell of a northerly wind, or if I smell a shampoo or a perfume, I think of Nat and my girls. It just reminds me of them straight away. And so here it actually says that God says, so imitate God as his dear children and live a life of love, just as also the Messiah loved us. Indeed, on our behalf, gave himself up as an offering, as a slaughtered sacrifice to God with a pleasing fragrance. So Christ's sacrifice, his life to the Father was a fragrance, was an offering. And we can take that further again. Is what kind of smell do we leave behind when we've been somewhere? What kind of fragrance? Is it like fish going off and it's like you're remembered for all the wrong reasons? Or like, do we leave a sweet fragrance? I love this. Listen to this. You may not have read this in this context, but 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Wow. So with Christ in us, there should be a fragrance about our lives. There should be something. We're diffusing the fragrance of Christ like an air wick. I would rather be that than a bit fishy. I'd rather be like somebody that leaves a sweet fragrance after I've been. What about seeing? Well, we all know that the scary thing is God sees everything. He looks, he sees, he watches, he's concerned. Even when he knows that we've done all the wrong things, the bad things, he's still watching. And the beautiful thing is he still loves us anyway. He knows what you did last week. He knows what you were thinking before you came to service this morning. And he knows what you're thinking about me right now. He still loves you and I still love you. But he knows, he sees it all. And I love that. That he sees it all. And I guess when it comes to applying that to ourselves, it's like we see with either eyes of the flesh or we see with the eyes of faith. And some things have to be believed to be seen, as you too once sang in Walk On. But it's so true that we can actually kind of just see with the eyes of flesh, or we can actually step into a realm when God comes and breathes into us and opens the eyes of our heart to see with faith, to see things as they can be, to see people as they can be, not as they are, because that's the way God sees us. Thank you, Jesus, that he hasn't finished with me yet. but he sees us as we can be. So the question is, what do we watch? What do we see? What are we watching and how much? Medibank Private did a health check and then they titled this, Is It Time to Unplug? In 2014. Listen to this. Found that on average, people spend 6.3 hours per day in front of a screen that's not related to work or study. But on top of that, 3.2 hours per day on screens that were for study or work. So in total, that's 9.5 hours in front of a screen per day on average. And we kind of wonder why that messes with relationships. That we're so good at like expressing things through an email or through a text or Snapchat or whatever it is, but to sit down face to face with people, kind of like there's just this awkwardness about it. It's because we're spending 9.5 hours on average in front of screens. But so it's not even about the quantity of time. For me, it's the quality. What are we watching? What are we feeding ourselves? What are we putting in that's going to come out? We are spoilt for choice, whether it's taste that we can, or seeing or hearing. We can actually log on and listen to podcasts or read this and look at that. We've got so much at our disposal. What about touch? God has a history of reaching into humanity and touching. And I love that about our God. And how do we apply that to ourselves? Are we touching others like Christ touched others? Because he reached out and he touched the untouchable. He loved the unlovable. He did the things that you weren't meant to do. But are we respectful? Are we appropriate? Are we caring? Are we unconditional? No strings attached. Acting and showing and demonstrating touch appropriately in love. Somebody once said to me about my relationship with Nat is that, Phil, you must learn first to touch her heart before you try to touch her body. And I don't always get that right, trust me. But God is like that too. That we should be seeking to touch the heart of God and seeking his face, and then his hand will move on our behalf. But sometimes we get caught up on just wanting God's hand to move in this and that situation instead of actually taking the time to touch his heart. Last one, hearing. God is not deaf, but he enjoys loud music. If it's too loud, you're too old. No, just kidding. But heaven's going to be a very loud place. Scripture is inundated with references to God hearing the cries of his people, that he listens to the poor, that he turns his ear to the prayer of the righteous, that he listens. Jesus only did what he heard the Father tell him to do. The Holy Spirit, same thing in John 16. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. So if Jesus did it and the Holy Spirit does it, maybe we should too. Two ears, one mouth. Maybe we should listen more than we actually speak. That's for somebody here today. It is so quiet. I'm going to stop there. I'm done. I'm out. No, I've gone over by 5 minutes. I just saw the time. You're supposed to tell me when I'm finished. I feel like I'm in an Anglican church or something this morning. No offense to Anglicans. I've got good mates. And by the way, Nigel Dixon got ordained as an Anglican minister yesterday. Congratulations, Nigel. For those of you who don't know who Nigel is, he'll be coming in October. You can meet him then. And we're going to get him to wear his robe. And we can start actually giving Anglican honorariums. No, that's funny. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me." We have a God who speaks, we have a God who touches, a God who hears, he smells. And let me just finish by reading this psalm, Psalm 115, 2 to 8. "Why should the nations ask, where is their God? Our God is in heaven, he does whatever pleases him. Their idols are mere silver and gold made by human hands. They have mouths, but they can't speak. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have noses, but they can't smell. They have hands, but they can't feel. They have feet, but they can't walk. With their throats, they can't make a sound. The people who make them will become like them, along with everyone who trusts in them." The stark contrast between the God who we believe in and the alternatives that are available to people. That we have a God who's alive, a God who listens to us, who hears us, sees us, smells us, has a taste, and certainly reaches in and wants to touch our lives and our situation. So, maybe you can get something out of that this morning. We're going to close in prayer and enjoy the rest of this beautiful spring Melbourne day. Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, I just thank you that you are such a dynamic, exciting, in a good way, unpredictable God, that we so often try to contain you, yet you are alive. Your Son rose from the dead in victory and is seated at your right hand in the position of all authority and power. You didn't leave us alone, but you sent your Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, who is here with us. We just thank you, Father, that you love us so much that you don't want to leave us the way that we are. You want to take us, if we're willing to, more and more deeply into you, that we can come to you with all our brokenness, with all our mess. As that song from Lincoln Brewster would say, every piece in faithful hands, and somehow make us whole again. And we thank you for that, that you are doing that with us. So we need you. We ask that you continue to guide and lead us. Just pray that you would make your face to shine upon us, that may we prosper as our souls prosper, and that our lives would bring glory to you, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Great to have you in church this morning.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.